in the name of Jesus. From time to time a Philistine appears on campus and warns us against getting too hung up on all the stuff the seminary makes us study. It's not that so much that makes a pastor, it's your burning heart, it's your people skills, how to work with people, or even how to work people to some purpose. Now there's a screaming, spurious alternative. Similarly, head trip or heart trip. Which side of the donkey are you falling off? What is the admonition you need today? I don't know. Epiphany 5's epistle says it's what comes out of your mouth that matters. You can burble as much as you like in your private devotions, but in church it had better be clear, coherent, with solid content. Knowing the languages is vital. What do the words say? If that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. Once upon a time, not long ago, there was a president here who was wont to talk of Gottseligkeiten. There's a language, much Lutheranly shaped for gospel use, of which the Philistines have robbed us. Gottseligkeiten are words spoken into the air. Pious phrases, one upon another, delivering next to no freight with not much coherence, but which are pastor may be expected to burble out at the drop of a hat, as you may have witnessed or even done yourself. Gottseligkeiten, however, can set a pleasant and quite innocuous tone. And if purposefully used, they can stroke the folk to manipulative purpose, such as provoking their admiration. Such pathos. Or perhaps it's wheedling out of them their money or getting their vote. Frequent in Gottseligkeiten is heavy mention of the will of God. Can't beat it, better join it, knuckle under. You'd better get with it and so get cracking with what the Lord wants you to do. Activistic or fatalistic? Islamic kismet was Nelson's last word. No doubt he this day had done his duty. A good death, as you would have been taught at school if you hadn't been born in the wrong place. As God wills, or as the cookie crumbles, or the French sharpshooter hits his target. You don't have to be a Christian to utter such pieties. With a God or without a God. Upon hearing of his death, Socrates observed, if that is the will of the gods, so be it. Or the Beatles, let it be. Stoic Epictetus said that when what is good is inside yourself, resting in the submission of your will into the overriding will of what you may call gods or fate, mother nature, or something else, DNA perhaps. Overriding will is the Stoic providence. See Seneca. Letting your will sink into the will of God is found among the Hindus, among the mystics, and that tradition of Christian piety called voluntarism. In philosophy, that's the primacy of the will over intellect. Any talk of the will of God depends, of course, on what God you are talking about, or the God who is talking to you. It all depends on who is doing the talking. We are here in church to listen to the words which the Lord speaks to us. He uses our words to speak to us in the way he uses our words. we are at the receiving end of his words. If anyone asks, how can you say that? With Philip, we answer, come and listen. If his words don't do it, we can't make them. They are his words. Where and when it pleases God, the God, the Holy Spirit, creates faith in those who hear the gospel. His words deliver what they say. And what they say is what we are asking for when we pray them. Best prayers are run by his words. We are never at a loss for words to pray. He's given us the Our Father. The ordination prayer in Wittenberg was an extrapolation of the Lord's Prayer. Today, the third petition. Did we read it out of the hymn book or say it by heart? Some years ago, the faculty could not evade the appalling recognition that they were declaring some men fit candidates for call and ordination who couldn't say the small catechism by heart. Horatio reprehends. Latin also we have been robbed of. And much, much worse, we have been much robbed of learning by heart the catechism, psalms, hymns, and scriptures. Did you perhaps hear them from a grandparent who lay a dying? Now isn't that what the apostle is getting at? How can we speak of the Lord's good and gracious will if we don't use his words to do it? Our words can get us no further than stoic resignation. And a symptom of that is that we most often speak of the will of God at times of loss, tragedy, and death. That betrays our keeping God and talk of his will to the bad times. At such times, at least, we may have recourse to some talk of the will of God. But much of the rest of the time, we can get along quite nicely with our own shallow platitudes. And you'll hear no end of them at funerals. What's with the God whose will we speak of at funerals? The God whose will it was to put his name on with the baptismal water, you are one of mine, whose will came with the body and blood given into his mouth for the forgiveness of his sins. Ain't no grave gonna hold that body down. At weddings, his will is to such a load of happiness as you have never known before. This was his good and gracious will in setting it up. Holy matrimony, as his words tell us, that is primary in marriage counseling and in marriage living. His name, out of which we pull our prayers, and his words, which tell us of his good and gracious will, that's gospel, that's for you. If received, that's faith. Amen. Or, no thank you, I'm managing quite nicely. If things get rough, I may click in for a bit. But meanwhile, thanks, but no thanks. If things get rough, well, then that might be appropriate. Our refusal of his gifts, that his words deliver our unbelief, does not God out of business, out of existence, nor even on hold. The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer. He speaks his good and gracious will, faith receives the gifts, and those worthy gifts produce the word of prayers, which pull us along together into them, along into his good and gracious will. Without we do rejoice as we pray the third petition with his gift-bestowing words. There is not a piece of us, our lives, or our world that his words do not reach to. His kingdom, his people, heaven and earth, the whole lot. God connects the words of God with all pieces. The
care for anything or anyone, you are keeping out of your purse. You've got a problem, you've got out of this world, you go to prison. There is a chance, then you will know which one best gives you the words to get over them. No, pretend. Pride, perhaps, or prayer's interest. Spurious attempt. Stupid settling with prayer's very power. That is the catechism among us. That the apostle is pulling the Corinthian Christians forward and into. No such clothing will be indeed to go out of that Jesus. No, among us has been heard such a five clear words than a host of others, whether in the spirit or that good power into the air. Lots of words with the language.